Let's get down to business. Taking a look at Wall Street. Dow Jones Industrial Average up 306 at 24,667. S&P 500 up 34 at 2,724. NASDAQ Composite up 65 at 7,462. Russell 2000 Small and Mid Caps up 24 at 1,647. Yield on the 10-year Treasury up 7 basis points at 2.84%. Oil up $1.40 at $68.21 per barrel. Gold up $2.50 at $1,301.90 per ounce. Dow Industrial Average up more than 300 points, with Boeing and Home Depot leading the blue chip stocks higher. Also, the energy stocks came roaring back, with ExxonMobil up over 3%, Chevron as well. A Reuters report indicated that output cuts implemented by members of the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries and non-members led by Russia will remain in place. That pushed oil prices sharply higher. The Russell 2000 hit a new high. The euro recovered much of its previous losses with a 1.1% climb against the dollar. An uptick in rates pushed the big banks higher, with Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan, Citigroup, Morgan Stanley, Bank of America, and Wells Fargo all finishing up more than 1%. The comeback in equities came as European stock markets stabilized. The Stoxx Europe 600 closed up 0.2%, while Italy's FTSE MIB, which fell 2.5% yesterday, rallied 2% today. Italian two-year bond yields fell to 1.72% from 2.1%. That wiped out most of yesterday's climb. Yesterday, the White House announced it would have a final list of $50 billion in Chinese imports that would be subject to 25% tariffs by June 15th, and 2 weeks later would announce investment restrictions on Chinese acquisitions of U.S. technology. In response, China is reportedly looking to line up countries against the U.S. The Wall Street Journal reports the countries in question are mostly in Europe and Asia, where companies could benefit from China's plans to give foreign companies more open access to its markets. So yesterday, Italy and China had the markets freaking out. Today, not so much. What changed? Not much. Meanwhile, after the closing bell today, the Journal reported that the White House is not planning on extending the European Union exemptions from steel and aluminum tariffs. An announcement might come tomorrow. Trump had been unable to win concessions from European Union counterparts ahead of a Friday deadline. The move, which has been threatened for months, is almost certain to draw a response from the EU, which has previously threatened to retaliate with its own tariffs on such American products as motorcycles, jeans, and bourbon. Trump announced in March global tariffs of 25% on imported steel, 10% on aluminum, based on national security concerns. The White House delayed implementation for some countries, giving those trading partners a chance to offer concessions to avoid the tariffs. Before the market opened, we had a couple of disappointing economic reports. Both ADP's report on private payroll growth for May, as well as the second estimate for first quarter GDP, missed expectations. In the first quarter, the U.S. economy is now estimated to have expanded at an annualized rate of 2.2%. That's down from the 2.3% rate of growth reported back in April, and it's below expectations for this estimate to be the same as the first. The contribution from inventories was reduced from 0.4% to 0.1%, but final sales to domestic buyers, which is a better gauge than GDP of underlying strength, well, that was revised up to 1.9% from 1.6%. So consumer spending was actually a little stronger than first reported. Also keep in mind, second quarter growth is currently tracking north of 3%. Also, ADP's report showed that 178,000 jobs were created in the private sector in May. That's fewer than the 190,000 consensus estimate. Friday morning, the Labor Department will report on non-farm payrolls and estimates running around 190,000 or so. Job growth is strong, but slowing slightly as businesses are unable to fill a record number of open positions. And the big question is whether companies will start paying higher wages to recruit and retain workers. Well, 2 weeks before a Federal Reserve FOMC policy meeting, the Fed publishes its beige book. It was published today. Fed said the U.S. grew moderately from late April to early May in its latest evaluation of the economy, indicating the central bank remains firmly on track to raise interest rates next month. Although companies have responded to chronic shortages of skilled workers by boosting pay and overall compensation, the Fed found that wage increases remained modest in most of the country. Prices for goods and services rose moderately in most regions. In every region of the country, Fed officials characterized the economy as performing well. Manufacturers raised production, banks reported stronger demand for loans, and home builders were very busy, among other things. A talent shortage, however, is the biggest source of anxiety for businesses. Truck drivers, electricians, carpenters, painters, and computer technicians were particularly hard to find. Yet despite these shortages, as well as rising costs for some raw materials such as oil and steel, inflationary pressures still appear subdued. The Beige Book confirms what Wall Street already knows. A steadily growing economy, a shrinking labor pool, and a gradual rise in prices all point to the Fed raising its benchmark interest rate in June. Meanwhile, the Fed is proposing to ease a rule aimed at diffusing the kind of risk-taking on Wall Street that helped to trigger the 2008 financial meltdown. The Fed unveiled proposed changes to the Volcker Rule, which bars banks' risky trading bets, also known as proprietary trading, for their own profit using depositors' money. The proposed changes would match the strictest applications of the rule to banks that do the most trading. 18 banks with at least $10 billion in trading assets and liabilities. They account for 95% of all U.S. bank trading and include some foreign banks with U.S. operations. Less stringent requirements would apply to banks that do less trading. The idea is to make it easier for banks to comply with the Volcker Rule without sacrificing the bank's safety and soundness. So roll back the bank regulations because what could go wrong? Economists are watching closely for signs the recent tax cuts are boosting business spending, which would signal more hiring, rising pay, and stronger economic growth. Well, they're still squinting. Business investment is on track to have a solid year, but there's little evidence we're in a boom. The new tax legislation is not providing a significant boost to capital expenditures, capital goods orders, excluding aircraft and defense. This includes business spending on machinery, equipment, computers, office furniture, and most other things that companies need to operate. Spending picked up in 2016, accelerated in 2017, but the rate of growth has actually slipped since then. With small business spending plans, this is a survey by the National Federation of Independent Business that measures the percentage of business owners saying they plan to increase spending on equipment or facilities within the next 3 months. It's generally been drifting upward since the lows of 2009, but at 29%, it's now 3 points lower than it was last August. Another gauge, the ISM Manufacturing New Orders Index. This is a survey of businesses conducted monthly by the Institute for Supply Management, which asks, among other things, about the level of new orders manufacturing firms are receiving from customers. The index has been climbing since 2015, but it's lower now than it was at the end of 2017. Another gauge, the Morgan Stanley Capital Expenditure Plans Index. This is an index that tracks data on manufacturing spending in several Federal Reserve business surveys and often signals spending that takes place about 3 months in the future. This index hit a record high in March, but fell back in April and May. Shares in Salesforce.com up 1.9%. The maker of software for customer relationship management posted quarterly results and an annual outlook that beat forecast. Michael Kors Holdings down 11%. The fashion house posted its results, but investors more concerned with weak sales growth going forward. HP stock rallied 4% after the maker of computers and printers posted a revenue beat after the close yesterday, but earnings just matched forecast. Dick's Sporting Goods stock jumped 26%. The retailer reported first quarter earnings and revenue that beat expectations, and they raised their guidance. Apparently, not selling assault rifles is working out. DSW dropped 5%, pulling back from the previous session's two-year closing high. The discount shoe and accessory retailer reported better-than-expected fiscal first-quarter earnings and revenue while keeping its outlook unchanged. The FBI says anyone with a small office or home router should reboot it to stop the spread of malware. A potential attack had infected hundreds of thousands of devices across 54 countries with software called VPN Filter. It was traced back to Ukraine, where it was first found in 2016. No negative effects yet, but it could potentially allow devices to be hacked for a number of nefarious purposes. To thwart that, the FBI says do what many IT professionals tell you to do when you have a problem with your Wi-Fi. Turn off the router, turn it back on again. Stay calm and reboot. After Roseanne Barr's racist comment caused the cancellation of her hit TV show, Barr had an unusual defense, blaming the insomnia medication Ambien. However, Ambien's manufacturer, Sanofi, quickly denied any role in the controversy, tweeting, "While all pharmaceutical treatments have side effects, racism is not a known side effect of any Sanofi medication." Dow Industrials up 306 at 24,667. S&P 500 up 34 at 2724. NASDAQ up 65 at 7462. Follow along live streaming and archived audio at moneyradio.com, the daily blog, eatthebankers.com.